Okay, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad that you're here, and it is just a privilege to be back at First Baptist Church of Kingstown. And let me just say this, the very first time that I came to First Baptist Church of Kingstown, there was less than this many people on this side there on Sunday morning, and I have seen God do wonderful things in this church. And so if you're excited about that, say amen.
Amen.
And if you're not excited, well, then you can just sit there and keep looking at me like you are, and I'm still going to have a good time. Amen. And so I am just so honored that a preacher would invite me back and that your church would invite me back. And I want to say thank you for the motel that we're in. I mean, I feel like I am moving on up. The very first time that I came here, I stayed. Y'all put me at the Best Western. And so the whole entire room was smaller than like the baptistry. And so we had to like scoot around like this to get around our bed. And I mean, y'all have put me in the Homewood Suites down there. I mean, I literally woke up this morning and thought about getting up and addressing the nation. I'm just loving it. And I want to say thank you. And I guess it takes 4 years to like get in good graces to where you get the really nice place to stay. And then, so I'm making Luke go back to the Best Western, and he has to earn it. 4 years is what it takes. And so I just want to say thank you. And the fruit basket was full of apples and oranges, bananas, Jack Daniel's shot glasses, cigars. It was incredible. I'm just kidding about the apples and oranges, but it was just a great basket there, and I guess that's the D.C. thing, but it is just a privilege. 2 Samuel and chapter number 7. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. For those of you that have never heard me before, I'm not generally a long-winded preacher. I'm not like that pastor who for 20 years got up and preached 20 minutes every Sunday. I mean, he was just, you could set the clock by him. For 20 years, he would get up, he would preach 20, 21 minutes, and then, literally, he would read a poem. They would give the invitation. He would pray the benediction and out the door. Every Sunday, every time. One Sunday, he got up and preached 2 hours and 45 minutes. I mean, it's middle of the afternoon. People are falling asleep all over the building. And I mean, it is just, I mean, it's getting tough. And the deacons went to him afterwards and they said, "Now, preacher, now we don't want to, we're not trying to cause a problem here, because what you said today was scriptural. There was nothing that wasn't in the Bible. But for 20 years, you have done the same thing. What happened today?" He said, "Well, I was getting ready this morning, and as I put my dentures in, I accidentally put my wife's dentures in by mistake, and at 20 minutes, I couldn't get them stopped." And so, anyway, no, I'm just kidding. you heard about the preacher that he said he wanted to meet with the board right after the service. So he went in the room and was waiting, and all of a sudden, a first-time visitor walked in. And he said, what are you doing here? You're not part of the board." He looked at him, he said, "Preacher, if you could have found anybody more bored in that service than me today," he said, "you point him out." But I'm glad that you're here. I hope not to bore you. I hope to be a help to you this morning. How many of you have been at every single revival service so far of this fall revival? You have not missed a service yet. Hold your hand up. That's all of you. This is the first one. That's a trick question. You can all hold your hand up. I'm hoping that tonight and throughout the next couple nights, you will make a priority to be here and to be in God's house. And here's the promise that I will make you. I will try to make sure that with all of my heart, I'm praying right with God and delivering the sermon that God wants for you. If you'll just come, the only way that we can have revival in the church is if the church shows up. If you don't show up, you can't be revived. You're not going to get revived watching Blue Bloods or whatever comes on the TV. The Voice is not going to revive you like revival. So I hope that you'll come and give it a chance and give God a chance to speak to your heart. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. Look at verse number 8. And let's stand, if you would, out of respect for the reading of God's word. It says in verse number 8, "Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David." Now this is the Lord speaking to Nathan the prophet. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto a name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Neither shall the wicked or the children of the wickedness afflict them anymore as before time. So he begins to speak these things and he begins to give these things that God has told Nathan to tell to David. He says, remember these things, David. Now look over in verse number 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Father, I pray that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts this morning. And Lord, from the text that we've read, and Lord, as we look at the context of this passage of Scripture, and as we look at the words, Lord, that you have for us this morning, God, I know, Lord, I know that there's no way that this church will be helped, and there's no way that these people will be encouraged if you don't meet with us. God, I know it's not an outline, and I know it's not a sermon, and I know it's not, Lord, an illustration, and I know, Lord, it's not anything that I can do, but God, we know that we're totally relying upon you this morning. So God, we give this service to you. God, we want you to work, Lord, as Brother Luke's going to sing a special, and as I'm going to try to preach, and Lord, as we go through this week, God, please do something in this place. Lord, we're just giving it to you. God, I pray that you'll just preach me, and may my words be your words, may my thoughts be your thoughts. Lord, may I convey exactly what you would have me to say. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, if there's someone here today that is away from you, if there's someone here today that is unsaved, God, today I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Draw them back to you, Lord, if they've known you before, and help them to restore that close relationship. All this we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated.
All the secrets he had kept from her so long are finally known. Her big mistake, that one regret that haunts her to this day, it just won't fade. So many different stories we thought could not be redeemed, but it's against our darkest failures we start to see the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. What a thought that just a single drop forever wipes away our every stain, and with its power every chain that held us now lies at our feet, and we stand free. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. Forever changed, I stand amazed by everything it does. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. Well, that's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. That's the beauty of the blood.
Amen. It is good to have Brother Luke. Now, Brother Luke's last name is Les Master. Actually, it's Les Meister, but it's Les Meister. So if you try to say that last name, I think of him as kind of Luke the Less because he's so short. And I just kind of think of him that way. No, I love Brother Luke and Miss Brittany. They are such a blessing to us at our church. And as we get the opportunity to travel and preach, here's what has happened. David has gone to the Lord and he said and he went to the prophet and he said, look, here's my issue. He said that the ark of God is dwelling in a tent. I mean, the ark of God. I mean, the presence of God, the Shekinah glory of God. I mean, what we see is the very place that God meets with man. This is in a tent. And I'm living in this house. I mean, I'm living in a palace. God doesn't have anything. So I want to move God out of this tent. And I want to move God into a building. I want to build him a temple. Now, we know that God said, I can't allow you to build the temple. You're a man of war. You're a man with blood on your hands. And he said, but your son of wisdom will be the one that will build a house for me, will build a temple for me. But he told Nathan, he said, I want you to remind David of some things that I have done in his life. I want him to remember some things that I have done for him and where I have brought him from and where he is at today. And just to take it a little bit further, we find there in verse number 18, if we were to read all of that passage of scripture, in verse number 18 in that narrative, we find David coming into the presence of God and sitting down and he says, Lord, who am I that you would do all of these things for me? You know, I think in our lives, there needs to be some times that we will sit down and say, God, thank you for what you have done for me. Lord, I just want to say thank you. I just want to praise you. Lord, and you say, well, Brother Mark, I don't get very excited about that. Let me tell you something, honey. If you were where you should be today, you wouldn't be in the house of God. If you were where you deserve to be today, you would not be in the house of God. We might find somebody in a jail. We might find somebody in a drunken stupor, waking up with a needle in their arm. You say, Brother Mark, that would never be me. It could be jail. It could be prison. It could be somewhere. That's what we deserve. We deserve hell with our backs broke. But instead, God gave us his grace. Now, I don't know about you, but I get pretty excited about that. I mean, I get pretty worked up about, I didn't get what I deserved, but I got the grace of God. So David begins to look at this, and we find David being thankful. Do you know the Bible says in several passages, it says it in the book of Romans, it says it in the Timothys, but the Bible says this, that in the last days, men will no longer be thankful. They will no longer give thanks. Let me tell you something, honey. We're there. Amen. Amen. We are living in the day of unthankfulness. Now, it was true in the Bible. I think about Jesus found 10 lepers. Now, leprosy was the worst disease possible. I mean, in the Bible times, in fact, today, there's still no cure for leprosy. If you get it, you die. They would wrap their hands up. Why? Because the digits of their hands would eventually begin to fall off. In the last stages of leprosy, their lips would fall off, their nose would fall off, their ears, their skull would be just a grinning skull as they would slowly, agonizingly, the nerves are not dead, the pain is still there, and they're dying slowly, worse than any cancer you can imagine. Leprosy was a place of separation. If you got leprosy, you had to go without the camp. You could no longer stay inside of the camp and no longer live in the city. You had to go live in a leper colony. And if you were walking down the road, per se, and someone started coming near you, here's what a leper had to do. He had to lift up his voice as far off as they were and begin to yell, unclean, unclean. He could never watch his children grow up. He could never go to his daughter's wedding. He could never experience any of that. A leper was a hopeless man who was just waiting on a painful, excruciating death. God sent his son by the way of 10 lepers, and Jesus healed them all. But only one gave thanks. You know, we live in that world today. It happened in the Bible. Brother Mix, I can't help but think about another place in the Bible where God fed through the power of his son. He took two sardines and five hush puppies from the fish house, and he fed 5,000 men alone. Now, I don't know about you, but just men in this building, if you add all the wives and the kids and everything else, you're three or four times the number of the men here today. Are you with me? Say amen. If you'll say amen, I'll preach faster.
Amen.
That's the only time Mix is going to amen me the whole day. He's ready for lunch. Amen. So here's what happened. God takes this little boy's lunch. He multiplies it. He feeds the 5,000, all their kids, all their families. They don't have to go to town. He takes care of all of their needs. He feeds them. They take up 12 basketfuls of the leftovers after they have, the Bible says they ate till they didn't break off just a tiny piece and put it in their mouth. I'm talking about they ate until they were filled. Now get this. We never find one person saying thank you. Not one. Not one. I have found this in the church atmosphere. I have found this in the way that it works with church. You can help a family. You can do counseling. You can do whatever it takes. You can love them. You can encourage them. You can help them financially. And I'm going to be honest, Pastor. Sometimes I get discouraged because we don't even get a thanks. I mean, I've given you 7 or 8 nights in a row away from my family, away from my kids, to try to help your family. And you don't have time to even just say on my way out the door, hey, thanks, preacher. We live in this world. But David didn't live here. I think about the Sea of Galilee when Jesus was asleep in the boat, and all of a sudden, as Jesus is asleep in the boat, the storm blows up, and the disciples, man, they're panicking. And they go down to Jesus and they said, Lord, don't you even care that we're going to die? And here's what Jesus says. He walks to the top of the boat and he says, peace be still, and the storm stops. The disciples get relieved, but we don't ever find the disciples. Now, he's recording a bunch of what the disciples are saying, but Brother Mix, we never find a thank you, Lord, for saving our lives.
Yeah.
I wonder in our hearts today, are we truly thankful? It's not only a sin in Bible day, but today I think about the entitlement mentality that people have. I mean, well, I deserve this. Well, this is mine. I should get this. You know what? This is what we teach our kids. Life does not have to be even and fair all the time. And so at different points of our children's life, my daughter is 15 and my son Wesley is sitting over here with CJ. I'm hoping I can get him straight this afternoon after hanging out with CJ that long. And sitting through him with an entire service, they're probably over there like making war games up as we speak. Here's something you can do to your dad to torture him later. But my son Wesley over there and my son Mason, do you know what? At different phases of their lives, sometimes at Christmas, they don't all get the same amount spent on them. Because my daughter's a little daughter. She's going to college soon. Oh no, Brother Mark, you're talking about parenting in the pulpit. Just stay with me. I'm talking about life in the pulpit. And you know what I do? If somebody in our, if all of a sudden something happens in our life, for example, we have a four-wheeler. And my boys ride the four-wheeler, and they all have helmets. And so a family in our church, I'd let them borrow some helmets. They were going on a ride, and they accidentally broke a helmet. They dropped it, and so they bought Wesley a brand new, high-speed helmet with the visor, all the air stuff. I mean, just a cool helmet. I got all my kids. I brought them in together, and I said, hey, look, this has happened way more than once. We all get to be happy for Wesley today because Wesley got a brand new helmet. You know what I didn't do? Go buy the other kids' helmets where it's always even, because you know what? God says there's a man with 1 talent, 5 talents, and 10 talents. God doesn't make everybody. Are you still with me?
Yeah,
take a deep breath so I know you're still with me. Amen. Just, I'm all right. I'm still preaching. We're okay. Sometimes you don't always get what everybody else gets, and that's fine. Just be thankful for what God has given you.
Amen.
Be thankful for your family, your home, your church, for people that love you, your friend. Be thankful for what God has done.
Amen.
Instead of worrying about what God hasn't done. And so we see this spirit, we see this attitude, but But let's just talk about what David remembered here. Verse number 8, we're just going to take our points right from the text. Verse number 8, it says, "Now therefore, when thou shalt say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel." The first thing that David was thankful for was he remembered his past condition. He remembered his past condition. When you were growing up, David, you were such a failure that your own daddy didn't ever think you would make anything. You say, how do you know that? Remember the story? Samuel comes to anoint him. Remember the story? And David wasn't even invited in by his own dad. And Samuel tells Jesse, he goes, "Is this all of your sons?" And Jesse's like, "Well, there's one, but I know he's not ever going to be king. He's out keeping sheep. He's nothing more than really just a little. He's a nobody in the middle of nowhere doing nothing important. He is nothing. You don't need to see him. Go back and look at my other boys." His own daddy thought he would be a failure. He remembered his past. He was going, no, he wasn't going to inherit nothing. He was the youngest son. He was never going to be anybody important, but God found him where he was, and he lifted him up, and he made him the king that every other king would be compared to throughout all of Scripture. He did not follow the Lord, as did David, his father. He did not, as did David, the king. Every king would be compared to David. I've been to Israel this year in the spring, and as we were there, David is still the name, the palace of David, the kingdom of David, the city of David, still to this day. Why? Because God raised him up from nothing and made him everything. Let me tell you something, honey. You were nothing when God found you.
Amen.
Nothing. God did not get a bargain when he got you.
Amen.
He got nothing. You say, "But Brother Mark, you're not being very positive." No, I'm just being really honest. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. He says our righteousness is what? It's filthy rags. But then God came looking for us on the backside of nowhere when we're nobodies doing nothing important. And God said, "You know what? I think I'm going to invest in him."
Yeah.
My favorite story is that has anything to do with this is a preacher told this story about soul winning in Greenville, South Carolina. He said he was out knocking doors one day and he saw a guy with a water hose out spraying his dog in the front yard. And he was spraying this dog and this dog was doing backflips. I'm talking about doing flips out in the yard. He said, "Why does this dog love water so much?" Now, I'm telling you, I hate dogs when I'm out door knocking. Now, we have dogs. My family, we have several dogs. I raise border collies. I work cattle with them. I love dogs, but I'm telling you what, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I'm soul winning, I hate a chihuahua.
Yeah.
Thank God I've never been bit by a Doberman Pinscher. I have never been bit by a Rottweiler. I've never been bit by a German Shepherd. Thank God. But those stinking little chihuahuas. I mean, I just want to look and say, "You know what? Could you get me something to drink?" And as soon as they walk out of the room, go, "Ah," you know, and punt the chihuahua or a Pomeranian. The last time I got bit, I had on a pair of dress pants that I had just bought. My wife had just got me at Kohl's these new dress pants. I'd taken them to the dry cleaner. I mean, they had a crease so stiff you could cut fruit on it. And I mean, I'm looking good. And this little Pomeranian, those little fuzzy ones, came running up and bit me and tore my pants. Oh, I almost didn't give the gospel. I'm like, "I don't even want you to be saved after what your dog just did." I'm kidding. I didn't really do that. Now, stay with me. This dog was doing flips. Brother Jim, he asked him, he said, "Why does this dog love water so much?" He goes, "Well, preacher, here's the story." He said, a few months ago, the trees in my backyard, you know, it's Greenville, the trees had spread so much that the root system had got down into my field lines of my septic tank and they had plugged it up. And so I had to have a roto-rooter truck come out here and he had to root the root system out. And while he was here, he pumped my septic tank out because it had got to where it was overflowing because the tank wasn't running good. So he said, we pumped it out, we cleaned it up, and we were getting it. He said, halfway through the pumping process, his truck went out on him. He said, hold on, I'm going to run back to the shop. I'm going to get another truck and I'll finish pumping your tank. And he said, I'm going to leave the lid off this tank. He said, just don't, you know, just keep everybody away from it. He said, preacher, you probably know what's going on. He said, about that time, my dog here, he's a crossbreed. He isn't worth nothing. He was a mutt. We just found him. He wasn't worth a quarter. I mean, this dog ain't worth nothing. I mean, he's no registered dog. He's no special breed. He don't tree squirrels. He don't do anything but eat. He saw a squirrel and he started across that yard at a high run. And we hollered for him to stop, but he didn't listen. Sure enough, preacher, he fell in that septic tank. He said he was swimming around in that septic tank. My dad looked at me and he said, boy, he's your dog. And he said, if you want him, you're going to have to go get him.
Yeah.
And he said, I went and got a stepladder and I lowered it down in that septic tank. And he said, I waded out in that filth. And he said, I grabbed that dog and he tried to get away from me because he was scared. In fact, he was even trying to bite me and he was running from me. But he said, I went to him and I got him and I pulled him to me. And as soon as I pulled him up next to me, the preacher said by the time he got to this point in the story, he's crying. The guy's like, what's wrong with you? I'm telling you a story about my dog. He said, just keep telling the story. I'll tell you why in a minute. He said, I got him and I pulled him to me and I took him up and I brought him up out of the ladder. But I knew before my dad would ever accept him that I had to clean him up. He said, I took him round front and I started spraying him with that hose, and he's loved the hose ever since. And that preacher said this. He said, that was just like me in the sin of this world. I was swimming and going down for the last time. He said, I was so tired of running and I was so tired of. And he said, and then God sent his son who came down into this world and he reached out for me, and we which are far off have been made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. And he said, he pulled me to himself and he brought me up out of the miry clay and he set my feet on a rock. But he knew before I could ever be accepted by the Father, he had to clean me up. So he washed me in his own blood. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm not where I used to be. And where I, if you can't get excited about your salvation, get excited about mine this morning. Amen. I'm saved. I mean, I know where I'm going. You say, well, preacher, I don't have that experience. Let me tell you something. You can know that. I was a 17-year-old preacher's kid. Lost and on my way to hell. I knew how to act. I knew where to sit. I'd memorize scripture. I'd win soul winning contests. I had a bus route that I worked myself. I drove out as a 16, 17 year old boy, I drove every Saturday and I knocked doors for 4 or 5 hours. I'd have 60, 70 kids on my bus route. I knew how to act. I knew how to play the game. But I was a fake. And I was lost. Until one night, a missionary preached and I gave my heart and my life to Christ. And it's never been the same since. Amen. Remember your past. The first thing David said is, man, I was in the sheep coat. I had nothing. I was in the middle of nowhere, but God saved me.
Amen.
This morning, be thankful for where God brought you from. Number two. Not only did he remember his past, but look at verse number 9. It says, I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name. The second thing that David remembered was this. He was thankful not only for where his past had been, but number two, he remembered the presence of God in his life. And he was thankful for God's presence. Now, you know what? He said, I was with you always. Boy, that sounds a lot like the scripture that I read in the New Testament where he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said in the book of Proverbs, I will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I mean, I love what the scripture, I mean, when God takes us in, he doesn't ever leave us. When your best friend walks out, when your mate walks out, when people you love walk out of your life, God will never walk out on you. What a comfort it is, the abiding presence of God. He is thankful not only for the past that he could have lived, but he's thankful for the presence of God. For many years when I met Brother Mix, we were in evangelism. And I was in the reserves. And then I would travel in evangelism the other 3 weeks a year. That's the way we made our living. Was A love offering. What we got in the love offering was what we lived on that week. So we traveled and we preached. Now, I'm going to be honest. You've kind of caught me on the back end. I have preached in the last, I've preached about 14 times in the last 14 days. And so a couple days I had off that were travel days, but several days I would preach 2 and 3 times in a day. And so, man, I have been preaching, just nonstop, and I love it. And I'm telling you what, if I didn't get to preach on Sunday, there's no way I would put up with pastoring mean people all week long. Amen. And maybe Brother Mix's church is really nice, but when I have to deal with all the problems in our church, and our little church has grown, I think the first time I was here, we were running maybe 80 or 90, and by God's grace, we're running 400 now, and with 400, there's lots more problems than there was with 80 or 90. And sometimes I feel like maybe I'd have just, Brother Jim, just split her back down to 80 or 90, where it was lots of fun, because it's a lot of work. But I remember when we were traveling in evangelism, there were some times where, man, churches just take good care of you. There's some times where maybe the church can't take care of you. I don't know, but sometimes it's feast or famine. I mean, sometimes you'll drive to California, and I've done that before, get a $500 love offering. California is a long ways from Missouri. I spent $500 getting there. So sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's not as good. But God's always good. Amen. God always provides. Well, I remember one night, I was about to start a meeting on a Sunday, and my wife and I, I was going up to preach at the largest church in Springfield, Missouri. I mean, the biggest Baptist church up there. And I was going to do a youth meeting. Man, I was excited. I was pumped. Now, you say, well, Brother Mark, as a man of God, you should just be living totally by faith. Okay, you give your paycheck to the church next week, and you live by faith a week and see how it turns out for you. I'm not seeing lots of hands going up. I'll do it, preacher. I'll do it. The song, Living by Faith in Jesus Alone, that song like became reality. So I go up there to preach, and I told Kim, I was like, this is the biggest church, and they've got like 1,000 young people coming. This is going to be awesome. So I go there to preach, and man, I preached my guts out that night, and I preached maybe a unique sermon, and I'm talking about people, kids are so full in the altar, a giant auditorium. There's so many kids on the altar that they're backed up the aisles praying back into here because they can't get to the altar. This is like 15 years ago before there was cell phones really popular. I mean, that's when we had bag phones, you know. And we were far cry from a party line and from a phone with a cord on it. If you've never done this before, or the way we used to do our phone is you would just pick it up. And it would be a party line, and you're like, I need to make a long-distance call. And they would say, what is your number? Because they would bill it to your number. And you would say, 501-556-5837. That was my number growing up. But we're not to that era yet, but we're still on the bag phone. Not everybody had a flip phone. And these kids started getting right with God, and they started getting right with their parents. And as God began to work in their lives, they're out. Every payphone in that church lobby is full. The offices have lines of kids. They're calling their parents and getting right. They're going to their youth pastor and getting right. I'm talking about God is working all over this church. The invitation lasted over an hour. I preached 30 minutes. The invitation lasted like an hour, hour and 15 minutes. Now listen to me. I'm almost done. The preacher comes up to me and he goes, man, we miss our skating and our bowling lock-in times. This really didn't go the way I wanted it to. And I'm thinking, all of these kids getting saved, all of these kids getting right, I don't care if we never go skating again. Yeah, amen. I mean, these kids are calling their parents from this place, asking their parents, mom and dad, to forgive them for the way that they've acted, the way that they've treated them, for having a bad spirit, God showed up. He goes, Brother Mark, thanks for coming. And he shook my hand, and there was something in it. It was the famous handshake with the check in it for the evangelist. So I just put it in my pocket because you don't want to go, and look at it, you know. So you got to play it real debonair, real suave. So I did. So I walked out. I got in my truck. I pulled it out of my pocket. It was a $20 bill. Now I spent $20 like putting gas in, eating at McDonald's. You know, I think I ate at Sonic because I like those footlong hot dogs occasionally. But anyway, chili dogs. And so I remember thinking, man, Lord, did this just happen? I mean, I saw them, their offering board, and their offering was like $22,000 that Sunday. And they can spare $20. I started having a pity party. I mean, I was having such a bad pity party that even the demons felt sorry for me. I got on my bag phone and I called Dollar Prayer and they hung up on me. I mean, it was bad. Dollar Prayer didn't even want to hear from me. So I'm driving home and I start crying. For a while I'm upset. Then the Holy Spirit just breaks my heart. I start crying. Then I'm like, Lord, you left me. So I'm driving back through Marshall, Arkansas on 65. You've been there, Miss Sarah. John, you've driven down. If you've ever gone to Branson, you've driven down 65 and there's no cell service. None. I can't call my wife. I'm in my 1997 Chevrolet pickup truck, extended cab, 350, Z71. I loved my truck. But anyway, coming back, my cassette tape gets stuck in the cassette player. I'm really having a bad day now. It's rain, pouring rain so hard I can't see out the window. I can't call my wife. So I'm scanning the AM stations. And it stops on a station. And all of a sudden I hear the distinct voice of Peg McCamey start to sing. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, child, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God. And you know where Peg goes, he's still God, when she screamed. I literally put my truck in park in the middle of the rainstorm, got out of my truck, walking around in the rain, just shouting, he is still God. And as real as he was to me that night, he's still just as real today. His presence will never leave you. Never. He was thankful for the presence of God. You say, but Brother Mark, I'm facing cancer. I've got a child that's away from God, that's running from God. I've got a grandchild who's a rebel. Brother Mark, I'm facing all of these things. His presence is still with you through the darkest. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Boys, shh. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I'll fear no evil. But I won't fear any evil, for thou art with me. With this, I'm finished. Not only was he thankful in verse 9 for his presence. Verse 8, he was thankful for his past condition that God had delivered him from. But look in verse number 10. It says, he prepared for him a place. He said, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them. You know, I'm glad that God has given me a place for my future. I love that old song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. The disciples were discouraged in John chapter 14. Jesus is telling them he's going to go away and all of this stuff is going to happen and the disciples are discouraged. But Jesus said, hey, he said, I'm not leaving you. He said, first of all, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. It is expedient that I go away, that the Holy Spirit will come. The Comforter will come. But he said, not only that, but I'm coming back to get you. It's kind of like John MacArthur when he pushed off there in the Philippines, literally as the Japanese army were breaking down to the very last man to get to the beach. And MacArthur pushed off. He said, I will return. And Jesus said, he's coming back to get us. And he's up preparing a place for us. I may not know what my future holds, but I do know who holds my future. I'm done with this. Vietnam was different than the wars that we had today. When I came back, every time I stepped off of a plane in Bangor, Maine, you fly a lot through Bangor, Maine. Every time I stepped off of a plane in Bangor, Maine, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, there would be hundreds of people standing in Bangor, Maine, clapping when we got off the plane, thanking us for our service. In fact, I remember the very first time I did this, we're talking back 08, 09. The very first time I stepped off a plane, an old man handed me a cell phone. He said, hey, have you talked to your wife yet since you landed? I said, no, sir, I just got off the plane. He's like, do you have a cell phone? I was like, no, sir, I turned it off. He said, call your wife and tell her you're okay. The restaurant in Bangor, Maine, that one night that we came in, the restaurant owner came in that night and he said, everybody eats everything for free. He said, I'll give it, I'll I'll give away all the food I got in my store. When I'm out of food, I can't give away anymore. I'll have to wait till the truck comes in the next day. And he fed every soldier, hundreds of soldiers that came by, gave them all something. Of course, soldiers, they love people like that. And he probably made more. CJ, it was probably smart because all of us were like pulling out 10, pulling out 20. Like, man, I can't believe you're so thankful. He probably a business ploy. He probably made more money doing that than if he would have charged us. I remember getting off the plane one time in Dallas, Love Field, and people were clapping for us as we'd come home from Afghanistan, and there was George Bush standing there clapping for us. Went by and shook George Bush's hand. He said, thank you. Thank you, LT. Thank you for serving your country. That's not the way it was in Vietnam. They came home and they were spat upon. They were called baby killers. They were hated. The soldier, you understand, the soldier's just doing what he was told to do. He doesn't start the wars. He just has to fight them. You say, well, I don't really agree, and I don't think... It's not the soldier's fault. We're doing what we're told. We're taking orders. Sometimes we don't always agree. Sometimes we may not understand everything, but we don't have to. Our job is to obey. And it's a lot that way in the Christian life at times. You may not understand everything that God wants, but His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. Your job is just to obey. That's why he said to obey is better than to sacrifice. I'm here. I'm done. Stay with me. It's 3 minutes till 12. We're going to try to get there. This young man came home from Vietnam, and it was Christmas time. His parents didn't even know he was home. I got to Skype. I got to call. We had phone services. They didn't have all that. The parents hadn't heard from this boy in some time, and he called home. He said, Mama... She said, son, is that you? He said, yeah. He said, I'm back in the States. He said, I'm about to get to come home. But Mom, I've got a question. Miss Sarah, would you go ahead and come to the piano? We're done. He said, I've got a question. He said, I've got this friend. Mama, he's really disfigured. He lost an eye, stepped on a landmine. And he had both of his legs blown off. He's missing a hand. Mama, he's really disfigured, but he was a war hero. He died saving his platoon. Mama, he doesn't have anywhere to go. Can he come live with us? Immediately that woman said, son, I can't wait for you to get back. They were a very, very wealthy family. Her husband had a very, very successful business. They lived in Los Angeles, California. Very successful. She said, honey, that just wouldn't work if he's that disfigured. I mean, he could come and stay with us for a few days. But he couldn't live here forever. I mean, what would it do to our family image, having somebody who is disabled and in a wheelchair? How would that look? He said, okay, Mom, I'll see you soon. He hung up the phone. The parents went to the Christmas party that night. They were awakened at 3 a.m. by a telephone call from a state trooper from the California Patrol. Said, ma'am, we found your son in a motel room. He's committed suicide. She said, how do you know it's our son? He said, it's from his identification papers on him, and he died in his dress greens uniform. He was wearing it. I guess he was expecting a homecoming. And besides, how would you not know it was your son, because he was missing both of his legs and his right hand and his eye? She began to weep, and he said, ma'am, I don't know all the circumstances, but I do know this. He had wrote in the Gideon Bible, I have no place to go except for heaven. I just don't have any place to go. Let me tell you this morning. No matter how disfigured sin has left you, no matter how many scars sin has put upon your life, you have a place with God if you want it. If you go to hell today, it's because you choose to go to hell today. If you spend eternity without God, Miss Sarah, you can play. If you spend eternity without God, did you know that it is a choice that you're making? God doesn't... The Bible says this, that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, preacher, can you go to hell from a church pew? You sure can, but you don't have to. You would have to make that choice, because God has a place for you. For those of you that know Christ, are you thankful for the place that God's given you in heaven? When's the last time you got on an altar and said, Lord, thank you for saving my soul? Besides Thanksgiving. But then for you that may not know, let today be the day of salvation for you. What a way to start revival, by knowing where you're going to spend eternity. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Miss Sarah's going to play. I'm going to ask two questions. At the end of these questions, Miss Sarah's going to sing. We'll stand our feet. We're going to see what God can do in our hearts and in our lives. Here's the question I want to ask first. How many of you would say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have a place in heaven. I know that I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know, preacher, I know that I'm saved today. There's no question about it. If the Lord were to return before the end of the service, I know that I would spend eternity in heaven. Preacher, I know that. Would you slip your hand up if that's you this morning? Lots of hands, but not all the hands. Thank you. You can put them down. There's many that weren't raised. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Here's the second question I want to ask. Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure that if I died today that I would go to heaven. Preacher, I don't want to miss that place. The most important place that you'll ever go is heaven. The greatest decision you'll ever make is choosing Christ. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure that if I died today that I would go to heaven. Pray for me. If that's you, I wouldn't come to you and embarrass you, but I'd love to pray for you. Would you slip your hand up if that's you this morning? I see one hand. I see another hand. I see another hand. Is there anyone else? I see another hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Slip it up. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, ma'am. With heads bowed and eyes closed. There's several of you today that you know in your heart that there's those doubts. I'm glad that God's word can dispel those doubts. And in just a minute, we're going to give an invitation. The pastor will be standing right here at the front. Pastor Mix will be right here at the front. And if you're one of those that held your hand up that you're unsure where you would spend eternity, I want you to step out and come in just a minute and get on this old-fashioned altar. Come to the preacher and get that settled. Christian, if you're here today, when's the last time you said thank you? When's the last time that you let God just break your heart for the fact of what he's done for you, where you ought to be, where you should be, and where God brought you from? Let's stand to our feet. Father, please. Lord, I pray that you would call sinners to repentance. Lord, I pray that you would call saints to remembrance. Lord, and I pray you would speak to our hearts. God, please, this morning, speak to our hearts. Lord, we've already had some come and pray. Lord, if you're dealing with people, Lord, I pray that you would bring them. Lord, I pray it wouldn't be a stiff start to revival, but Lord, I pray that we would just immediately begin to yield ourselves to you. God, please, work in this midst, or in our midst and in this place. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Miss Sarah's going to sing. If God's spoken to you, would you step out and come? Would you step out and come? Won't you come today? Preacher, I'm not even sure where I'm going to spend eternity. Won't you come today? Preacher, I just need to say thank you. Won't you come today? People are making their way to the altar. Won't you come? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I need to just say thank you. Won't you come today? Come get on this old-fashioned altar.
Jesus paid it all.
Won't you come?
All to
from all over the building, people are making their way down. Won't you come?
Sin had left a crimson
stain. Say, preacher, I just need to do business with God.
He
washed. Won't you come?
It white as snow.
Won't you come?
Lord, now indeed.
Several have come. We're not in any hurry when God's working in our hearts. Won't you come this morning? Maybe you need to identify with this church. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I see the tears still dripping, and I see people still coming. Won't you come and get down here this morning and do business with God? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Jesus paid it all.
Won't you come this morning?
All to
yeah, come on down.
I owe.
We're not done yet.
Sin
I still see God working.
Crimson stain.
Still see these altars filling up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're praying in your heart, Christian. Let's go. Let's come on down. Are you unsure where you'll spend eternity? Won't you come and get this settled this morning? What a way to start revival. Oh, we're going to baptize in a minute, and we're going to do some other things in a minute, but don't miss this opportunity. If God spoke to you, won't you come? Won't you come? Is there one more? Jesus paid it all. Won't you come? We're not going to close till we have a verse where no one's responding, but they're still coming. That's God. That's God working. Are you praying, Christian? I hope in your heart that you're just saying, God, don't shut this down yet. Won't you come? Did he speak to you? Won't you come? If you're a little bit nervous to come and you're unsure of your salvation, why don't you just reach over to the person next to you and take them by the hand and come down here and say, will you go with me to get saved today? Won't you come? One more verse, Miss Sarah.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up.
Won't you come?
From the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life.
People are still coming.
Up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead.
There are those still praying as Miss Sarah's continuing to play. I know God has spoken to our hearts today. I know myself he spoke to as well. What a great message. What a great spirit that's come upon our hearts. And I can't help but think there are others as well. Ladies and gentlemen, this place here called the altar, it's not just a bunch of wood and carpet. It's a special place. It's a significant place of a place that we can meet our Lord, our God. This is the place that he has opened up to us at the moment that he died on that cross and that veil was torn. He gave us access to the throne. And here is the altar that we can come to him directly to his throne and speak our hearts directly to our God and Creator. I know that God follows us wherever we may go. I know that he's with us at all times. But if you really want to do business with God, there's no better place than the altar. Thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. And as right now, preacher is up here preparing for baptism.